How's everyone doing? Good. Hey, Marshall. Of course, Jaden. It's Jaden's birthday the other day. Happy birthday, Jaden. 26 again. All right. Well, we got a bunch of ladies up on the mountains, and that's always an awesome thing. Therese called, or texted me this morning. She didn't want to go. And then she called me Friday when she got up there and said she was all full of anxiety. And I told her, grab some of those ladies up there, some of your friends, and pray. And but anyways, this morning she wrote me and said she had a breakthrough. And yeah, you don't know how cool that is. Maybe, but she said she allowed God to come into her broken heart. And which means she's been keeping God away from her broken heart. And I get it. You know, you ever have anybody that's hurt you or you perceive they've hurt you and you don't want them to come near you? Well, that's where she's been at with God. And she said I could share that. I'm not sharing anything that she didn't say I could share. So I asked her if I could share it with you guys. She said, yeah. So that's a special moment, and so I want to talk about time today. We've kind of finished Nehemiah, and there's a break, and then we start our October series, which will be dealing with the spirit world and Halloween time. And so we'll take a look at what is going on in the spirit world, and we'll do that. But it was this week, and I've been in a state of depression. I can feel it, just dealing with my life and my sorrow and my pain and all the other things. And you know, it's weird. It's so weird because it comes like waves. And does anybody else ever have that kind of stuff? You know, when you're dealing with pain and suffering and loss, it's not. It's just weird. So it's, and my tendency is I want to isolate. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go out. I just want to be with the little kids and hang out, and I just want to do that. But the problem is life. And I refuse to allow that to govern my life. I don't mind feeling it, and I'm willing to feel it, and I'm willing to go through, because that's how we get through things, is we go through them. But I was thinking this week, what can I... You know, what would be appropriate? And then I don't know if it was God necessarily, I didn't hear a voice this time, but I felt like, well, I'm going to look at back at the message I had for the Sunday my daughter was murdered. And what was I going to teach on that day? And because it was a Sunday morning. And so I went back and I pulled it out, and I've kept that message, and I haven't looked at it in a long time, but I kept that message on the screensaver part of the screen. You know, I don't know, when you open your computer and they got stuff on there, that's where I kept it. Desktop. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm going to teach on computer stuff today, so it should be interesting. But the interesting part, you know, so I open it up, and we were doing a series called Reboot. And the idea was in January to stop for a second and reboot ourselves, get the proper operating program working again, get the operating system the way it was designed. And what we started by teaching then was the idea that a computer, when it starts to act glitchy, when it freezes, when something, whether it's an iPhone, an iPad, your desktop, laptop, it doesn't matter, whatever the computer is, so the first thing they always tell you to do is what? Reboot it. Why do they say reboot it? Well, when you turn it off, all the programs stop. Everything shuts down. And do they always tell you to count to 10, right? I don't know why that is. It's not like the computer goes, you're on 8. No, okay, I'm not firing up now. You didn't go all the way to 10. But anyway, they say to wait a little bit for it to completely stop and then reboot. What takes place when a computer reboots is it again fires up the hardware and the computer searches if there's any glitches in the hardware. Oftentimes it can repair itself right then. Then it looks at the software and the memory system, and it starts to go through methodically preparing the computer to operate again according to how it's been programmed, according to its original instructions. So the question would be, why doesn't the computer repair itself while it's working? And the answer to that is it can't. It is busy running the programs. It is already operating a system trying to make whatever you're doing, trying to, from the memory to the hardware, trying to get everything operating well. When a virus attacks it, when something glitches in the hardware or in the software, when something malfunctions, it tries to keep running with that thing in there because it can't fix it because it's operating. So the only opportunity it has is to stop operating, reboot, and oftentimes it can overcome that glitch. You and I are very similar to that in our lives. We sometimes have to reboot because when we're running and life's coming at us and viruses are infecting us and stuff is happening and we get glitches and we get stuck and we keep running the same program around in our head, the same memories around in our head, we can't fix ourselves because we're running already as fast as we can. Some point we need to stop and reboot. So the idea being in that series was to begin the year with a reboot. So as I was looking at that particular message of what I was going to preach that Sunday morning, I remembered, and I shared this last week, I had the privilege to speak at Huntington, basically told them kind of our story because they've been kind of a layer off from what has taken place in our personal lives. And they've been very supportive, but like I said, a layer or two off. But what has happened to me in the past, and now I'm kind of used to it, is that when I prepare a message, usually I feel that there's a flow to it. Usually I get kind of, okay, this dot connects to that dot, to this dot, to this dot. And I get a comfort level. Not all the time do I feel comfortable, but I have a level of comfort that, okay, I feel like this is what I should do. Well, there are those Sundays that when I've prepared the message, I just can't kind of get the dots to connect. I just can't. It just doesn't feel right. And I used to trip out heavy in my younger days because I got to get up there and I got to have some kind of flow. Now, you guys may sit there and think, Joe, you've never had a flow, but thanks for the effort. Apparently you're trying hard, and that's a good thing. We applaud you for that. You might want to go to sermon school. But anyway, in my mind, there's a flow. But in this particular Sunday, and there's been numerous Sundays, when it doesn't happen, I feel, oh, and now I know that the Holy Spirit is going to intervene. There's going to be something different today than what we would a normal service. Even though a normal service, I believe God touches people and you know, he's always doing his thing. But sometimes his thing overrides the thing we're doing. Does that make sense? And so I was thinking, oh, that's probably, you know, that's what's going to happen Sunday. And then and when I'm doing a message, like usually Saturday night when I go to bed, sometimes I sleep great. And then sometimes I toss and turn, and sometimes I get the best part of the message on a Sunday morning. Before service, I'm in there because I always go over the message and I'm looking at it, and it's, you know, I it's like, whoa, who did that? And I know, aren't you glad you don't have my life? I don't know about your work, but preaching, anytime you're doing public speaking on a regular basis, you always have to prepare a message, and that's hard. That's hard, and you know, whether it's doing a book and you're just going from one chapter to the next, or whether it's a topical, it's difficult work. And but this particular Sunday, I felt like, oh, God's going to do something. I didn't know what he was going to do would change our lives and change the future of our lives. And so it was a much more personal deal. So I'm looking over at the message, and it was like, And in this particular message of reboot, it was about going back to the basics. Remember the original operating system. Remember this. And you know, the Bible is a whole book of remembrances. God is big on us remembering. Because we, like a computer, can be so engaged in the running of the computer that what we're dealing with now, what we're running in right now, can overwhelm us, and it becomes the big picture rather than the big picture staying the big picture. We get lost in the details. So I wanted to take us back and do a little bit of a reboot, because I know I'm not the only one that is going through a difficult period. And in my life, it's a day-to-day flow of difficultness. You know, Therese went to the retreat this weekend, which meant I had the kids, and which meant get help. And she's so good, because the five-year-old, just so happens, he's in soccer now. He has his game at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Who does these things? What insane people schedule five-year-old games at 8 o'clock in the morning? And here's my initial thought, we'll just miss the game, no problem. Oh, we're the snack people this weekend. So now I got 15 little rugrats that we got to bring snacks for after the game. So now I have a responsibility, and I gotta do the responsibility. Thankfully, Teresa had already thought of that. And she goes, Joe, I got Maggie. Maggie's our kind of nanny. She's coming over. She's going to cut all the oranges and pack all the bags and get everything ready for you, so you just have to take it. And I said, oh, good. So Saturday morning, I got the gang, you know, and my five-year-old, he could care less. It's like, dude, the number goes on back, the shirt's backward. That's how much he cares about it. And and he's the biggest kid by far on the team, but his big thing is sitting on the sidelines. And when he sits on the side, he's not paying attention. He lays on his back, looking around. Four different times he gets up and runs to me on the sideline to talk about something. It's like, dude, any moment they may call you in to get in that huddle that's going on out there. And you know, and he doesn't care. And it's like, who does? And you know what I noticed? All these other parents, they're not happy. Nobody is happy being there. They're there. There's not one smile on anybody's face. It's like this. And then the two-year-old, you know, he's meandering. You got to watch him all over the place. Then I saw him over by a toy, one of the playground equipment. And when he's got a poop, he does this. And he looks around. And then if you look at him, he goes, shh. And it's like, dude, are you kidding me? We're not even here 15 minutes. Are you? So, you know, why am I telling you all this? I'm trying to make you feel better about your life. It's always good to have a comparison thing going on. And thank you, Jackie, for taking the other little guy yesterday and keeping him all night, and maybe during the week too would be good. Anyway, let's go back to the beginning, and this is the beginning. In Psalm 139:14, some of us know this. You need to know. You need to reboot and realize that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, another word for fearfully is very carefully. Very carefully made by God. Because we can tell ourselves a lot of different thoughts by what's going on in our lives, by what we've experienced, by our history, by a lot of stuff. You need to understand that you have been fearfully put together. There is a purpose. Your circumstances, your position of what you're dealing with right now is not the determinant. of who you are. And when we reboot to get that straight, that helps us get some equilibrium when we're thrown off. When we're going through a desperate time or relational stuff, we can think we're not worthwhile. We can think it's not okay. You need to reboot. You need to understand that this is what you are. And it says, wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works. My soul knows it very well. That's an interesting statement the psalmist writes there. He says, my soul knows it. The innermost part of my being knows that I'm of some value. So what does it mean? It means my mind can be messed up about it. It means my hardware, my body can be messed up about it. There are people in here that don't think they're wonderfully made just because of their bodies. My mind can tell us because of things I've done or what I'm experiencing now, I'm not wonderfully made, but you are. So step one is understanding in the reboot who you are. Then there's a step, we need to understand this about Scripture. That's why it's so important to get God's Word into you. It was written down, and we're going to see some places where it says, remember this. If I don't have God's Word in me, I can't remember it. So what happens, I'm not rooted, and lots of other things can throw me off. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is breathed out, has breath, has life from God, and it is profitable for teaching us. It helps to teach us. Which means we don't know. We need to be taught. There are things we don't know, and the Scripture is profitable for keeping us in a direction. For reproof, it corrects us. For correction and training in righteousness, how to live in a right way that's right and functions well. We need to be rebooted in that because we hear a lot of voices. We hear a lot of things. There's been, what is it when computers are chained together? What's that called? Networked. How many of us have been networked by a lot of different voices that come into this computer and tell us all kinds of things and have programmed us, not always in a healthy way? We need Scripture to be the main programming of our hearts and our souls. It keeps us well. And then Scripture tells us who we are. This is what Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. See, when I wrote all this, I didn't know that all those things would rock my world. Like we sang today, God is good. You know what? When you're in a tough time, when you have been broken to the uttermost, you don't necessarily think God is good. You don't necessarily think God is for you. So we have to reboot. And I'm glad I had this in, and that before it all happened that morning, I had been chewing on this. So there was a sense in which it kept me. I mean, I was gone. Well, you can't even think right. They call it grief brain, when you just can't put thoughts together. And any of you that have been through a traumatizing period of time, it affects the chemical makeup of your brain, and you just can't get out of the funk. You just can't think thoughts clearly. You struggle with everyday stuff. How many know what I'm talking about? It becomes, you know, life takes a whole different twist of difficulty. And so he says, listen, you were chosen him before the creation of the world, before time began. Before the creation, before time as you and I know it began, somewhere back in the timelessness, God chose you to be put along the time continuum. You and I live in the storyline of God in a timeline. And we have been put in this place along that timeline. But you were chosen to be that before time began. You were chosen to be in this part. And it says, to be holy and blameless in his sight. He not only chose you, but he chose you to belong to him. Holy means to be different than others, to be separate from. He says, I chose you out to be mine and to consider you blameless. I don't hold your stuff. I don't blame you for all the stuff in your life. I've removed that. And it says, in love, he predestined us. I predetermined you to be adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, I chose you to be in my family. In accordance with my pleasure and will, it made me happy to do it, and I wanted to. This helps reboot us and gets us stable in the midst of all the different things. You can lose a job and feel like your world's been torn apart. What's going on? You can have a lot of different feelings based on people, places, and things. This tells us you are special in God. You belong to Him. Even though you're in this particular time slot in God's time continuum. He says, he did this to the praise of his glorious grace, his amazing gift to us, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood. He has did a transfusion. He has taken your corrupted blood, given you his blood. And now that blood purifies you. It moves through your body, attacking the viruses. It is the healing thing in our lives. It even when we mess up, we are still, even when we get infected, God is still healing us and still has his blood coursing through us. We are okay, or coursing through us. Cursing through us would be weird. It says he's done this, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He knows what he's doing. Okay, that's a reboot in who you are, what this computer is. The creator and the manufacturer of it loves it and put it together. Then he said this, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Well, what is that mystery? Here it is. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. So he says, listen, the rest of the Bible, all the Bible talks about this age. You and I live in an age. He says, before creation, he chose you when to be in this age. And on this timeline, there is going to be a fulfillment or an end to this age. This time continuum from the creation to the fulfillment will end. And what will happen then? Heaven, all the supernatural, and all the natural at that point will join together. And this part of God's work, his timeline, will be fulfilled. It will end. And a new age will start. You and I, on this timeline, at some point, we will end. And that's what death does. You will leave this age. You will move as a child of God into the supernatural realm until all the natural time ends and they come back and join together. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us, and basically ends there, it doesn't give us much information. We do not have the computer upgrades. We do not have the software upgrades to know what that new age is going to look like and how it's all going to function. We have just been given some little bits of information about that. So about 50 years or so after Paul, who wrote this book of Ephesians, was telling us what was taking place, this guy named John is on an island. And he gets a vision of that last thing, the fulfillment happening. And he equates it to a wedding. He says, and I saw heaven, we'll read it here in a second, I saw heaven like a bride coming down to meet the earth like a husband, and they were going to be united like a marriage and live together forever. And God, who made it all, is going to live with them. And this is what he said. He says in Revelation 21:1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Its time had come." Just like all of us, in this age, our time will come and we will exit this age. The earth and heaven, all the supernaturals, all the earthly, will also reach the fulfillment and it will pass away. And he says, "But I saw a new heaven and a new earth happening." And listen to what else he says. He says, "For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea." I didn't see any separation. I didn't see any water. "I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." I do a lot of weddings, and it's always interesting that the bride always comes to the husband. And I don't know where that all started, but that is very symbolic of how the natural and the supernatural are going to meet. The supernatural is going to come. And John says, "I saw this." And then he goes on to say this. He says, "Coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.' It will all work out. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." God, that's going to be a good day. "For the old order of things," the old order of that age, which encompasses crying and death and pain and suffering and all the things we deal with as we march along the timeline, he says, all that will not be present in the new age. It will have reached its conclusion. Evil and all that stuff. He says, "For the old order of things has passed away." Key verse here, 5. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" It's going to be new. Then he said, "Write this down." He said, "Write this down so you don't forget." So when you're going through the stuff that you go through and the timeline that you are in and in the season in that timeline, write this down so you have something to anchor yourself, to reboot yourself to, so that you can maintain equilibrium because you see the bigger picture. It's all going to work. And he says, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He says, "Keep it handy." You're going to need to hang on to this. Write it down. Keep it handy. And then we jump to the next chapter, the last chapter of the Bible. And in Revelation 22:10, John writes that the Lord then told him this. He said, "Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll.'" Don't take these words, seal them up and put them someplace. He says this, "Because the time is near." Hold on to them, because the time is near when I'm going to do all this stuff. It's going to happen. Time is a big deal to God. It's going to happen. And he says this, "Now, as you walk along your timeline, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong." Don't trip on everybody who's doing wrong. How many of us do that? We start tripping on what's happening in the world, and especially in our time with the government right now, it's nuts. Don't be tripping on all that stuff. Let those who are gonna do it, do it. And then he said this, "Let those who do right continue to do right." Continue. The time is near. I'm coming. To me, us, near seems, you know, close from God. To God's perspective, near can be, you know, when you're living outside of time, near can be a long time. How many of us know when you're taking a kid anywhere, you say it's 30 minutes. They have no clue. They're asking you every minute, are we there yet? Well, how close are we? We have the two-year-old now is getting the idea of sign, of the lights. Go, Papa, go, whenever we stop. I said, hey, Aaron, see that light? It's red. Red means stop. That means the other people get a go. And I'm explaining this to him. He don't care about that. Go, Papa. You don't want me to melt down right now, do you? Because I'm fully capable of doing it in this car while you're in front of me and you can't do nothing about it. Because in my time frame, we need to be moving. I'm 2 years old. Things are happening in my life. And we're the same way with God, aren't we? So he says this. Where am I at? He says, let the one who do what I, and let the holy person continue to be holy. You continue to do what I've called you to do, to be different. And whatever that looks like in your personal life, you continue to do that. He says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done, on the timeline, in their season. That's why I always talk about our generation, in our season, in our time. This is our time. For whatever reason, God decided to put all us and everybody else living today in this time slot. He says, you continue to do right. If they do wrong, you continue to do right. It doesn't say you don't feel good. I'm sad a lot of the time. You know, I go through, there are waves. One day I feel okay, and the next day, I'm just don't want to go out. I just don't want to do nothing. I just want to be with the little kids. I just, you know, it's a struggle. But I also know that I need to do what I'm supposed to do. So I can, and I've grown to the place in my life that my feelings, I recognize them as feelings, and I'm dealing with them as my feelings, and I'm going through my feelings. And I also know that I got to do what I need to do. And so learning to walk in both, because a lot of us have spent a lot of time pushing one or the other away. If we're immersed in our feelings, we don't want to do anything, you know, just leave us alone. If we're immersed in just doing what's right and we try to stay distracted, and that's what a lot of addictions are about, is we don't want to deal with the feeling. We don't want to deal with the pain of our life. We don't want to deal with the hurt of our life. So we're going to run with this distraction and run fast and not deal with that. Well, the problem is that only works for so long. How many know that? I'll just get into a relationship. I'll deal with my old broken relationship by my new relationship. And we've done that till, you know what, we're a nightmare to any relationship. Because we're carrying baggage that has not been processed, not been gone through. So we carry. What we bury, we carry. You think you're burying it, you're carrying it. And so there's all these things. So we have to learn to do life managing the big picture and being okay with that. Being okay, I'm going to take a couple days off because I just need to just in my own life. And I'm saying the same. My hardware needs a break. My software needs to settle. And sometimes it's okay to do that, you guys. You need to do that. Because why? I want to finish my timeline. And as I told Chris, as Chris shared with you guys, my job is to finish it well. Didn't say to finish it fast. Said to keep moving and finish it well. So I need to keep doing what's right. I need to stay set apart. Right now, see, part of set apart means I'm dealing with what God has set me apart for. If you're in a recovery place in life or relationship or job, you're being set apart. And that's part of being holy, is you're set apart to deal with that. Deal with it. It's a difficult thing, but it can be done. He says this, I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, and the beginning of and the end. So I want to share something with you about that, because this is our timeline. I shared with you that we all start in creation, that God started it all in creation. He chose you before. You are on the timeline continuum to the fulfillment of heaven and earth. Unless Jesus comes back and shortens that, because we don't know that timeline. That's in God's hands, and he doesn't tell us. No man can know it. But he does say this, your time to each man has been appointed once to die. Somewhere along the timeline, you leave. And you don't always get to choose that. So there's three aspects of time. The first aspect of time is called eternity. That is timelessness. That is the time before time. It is the time that surrounds the timeline. God has the great ability to maneuver around the timeline he set. And he can do whatever he wants. He is not bound by time. Even in heaven, which is part of the creation, heaven and earth are going to meet. Heaven operates on a timeline. It will reach its fulfillment, and then it will become new. Why? Because there's battles going on in heaven, in the heavenlies. There's the enemy, there's the demons, and there's all the stuff that we'll talk about in the next month that are battling with the angelic beings, and there's the people that have passed before us, but they're not whole yet because they don't have their bodies. You were designed as a human being to have flesh and blood. When you die, your soul goes, your spirit goes, but you're missing your body because you were designed to be an earthling. Heavenly creatures, angels and demons weren't designed to be earthlings. They flow in the habitat they are in. We have the great capacity, being made in the image of God, to flow in both. So when they reach their fulfillment, we will be able to navigate in the spiritual at some level, like Adam and Eve did way at the beginning of creation, where they saw the angelic realm, where they walked with Jesus, where they talked to God. They talked to this guy, Lucifer. They could see him. We can't see that, although we know it's present. It's a different material. It will reach its point at some time. So you have eternity. Then you have what's called kairos. And this is crazy, because I wasn't going to mention these three time periods today, because I've been messing with the message, and you know, I just it's been hard. But there's a guy that came up to me after first service and said, oh my gosh. And so let me tell you what kairos is. Kairos is a special, it's a Greek word. And it's a special, significant time that God steps into the timeline to do something special. When John had his vision that we talked about, that was a kairos moment. Some of you have had kairos moments where you were at the bottom of your life and God did something. That's a kairos moment. Some of us have had that aha moment where we couldn't understand something, and then God downloaded, he upgraded your software to where you understood something you never understood before. That's a kairos moment. When all the miracles that happen in your life and in throughout history and in the Bible, those were kairos moments when God did something from the supernatural into the natural. And then there's the third component of time that you and I live in the vast majority of our time continuum, and that is what's called chronos time. Chronos time is clock and calendar. You and I, along the timeline, we live by the clock and the calendar, the clock and the calendar, the clock and the calendar. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Which means in chronos time, our everyday life, he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us in it. No matter what's going on, he's there. But we don't always feel him. How many know that? I don't feel God. I haven't felt God in a while. I don't feel God. I know he's with me. I know he's directing me. I know I need to keep marching in the Chronos time. I know he'll touch. So anyways, this guy comes up to me after church. He goes, dude, I'm tripping hard. I go, welcome. Who isn't? But for the sake of conversation, what are you tripping on? He goes, I lost my wife in childbirth last December. And I'm a pastor. And I've gone sideways. I've, you know, to the effect, I'm in rehab. And earlier this week, God has been showing me, and been, you know, I've been having what you're calling Kairos time, but I didn't know it. And I was looking up, and I saw the word Kairos. And he goes, and then, dude, you said it today. And it was like, whoa. And he goes, yeah, I got, you know, I'm sober now, and I'm. He goes, you know what I'm going through. And I go, oh, yeah, I get it. And it was like, wow. And I wasn't even going to say that today. I just said it. You guys are getting it earlier, but I said it at the very end of the message. And this guy's world, he had a Kairos moment that God gave him a word a few days ago of a time God was going to do in his life. This is a special time. This is a time he got to, you know, his baby is being watched by someone that loves him. And he's getting to work. And he goes, I've done all the isolation. I would go to church and then I'd do my thing. And I just, you know, and then God, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't distract myself anymore. I just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled. And he goes, I'm so glad, man. He goes, you guys got an awesome church here. And he goes, man, this is great. This is what I want to do and what I want to be a part of, this type of thing. But God touched him by a Kairos moment. I told him, dude, well, walk in it. Walk in that and let God minister to you. And it's, you know, it's okay. You gotta grieve, you know. You gotta grieve. He goes, the crazy thing is, my life, I got Jesus now, but I was a mess. She always walked with God. She was the one that led me to the Lord. And then she's gone, and it's like, I don't get God. I just don't get God. But I trust him, and I know this, that at some point, this age ends, and a new age begins. And I gotta reboot myself regularly and not get caught up in the drama of Joe so that I can stay rooted, so that I can maintain doing what I'm supposed to do on the timeline continuum God has given me. And I know it. Sometime it will end, either at the new age, when he starts the new age, or when, you know, I go see him. But I do know this, we win. We win. So listen, the only time out of those three time slots, the only time you really have any control over is which one? Chronos, the clock and calendar. That is the thing you have the most control over. And you know what else? Your most control over it is an even smaller increment, one day at a time. Today, you have a calendar date of September 30th, 2018, and you have a time of 12:19. This is what you have absolute control over. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Walk the way you're supposed to walk. Reboot yourself down to today. And that's the best you can do. And that's what all that God asks you. And then when he says, I'm going to bring my reward with me, and I will give it to you as you walked it out. As you walked it out. Ultimately, we win. But you know what? There is a crown. And I was sharing with Huntington Beach last week. You know, there's two places in Scripture. If you haven't looked at the video, there's two places in Scripture that talk about a particular reward we get. And it's called the crown of life. And this crown of life is promised to those who persevere in suffering and stay steadfast in their faith, which means they stay steady in their faith in the midst of suffering. And suffering can take different avenues. And we all get it. Life, one thing we know about life is what? It's not fair. You'll each get heartbreak as well as heart joy. You'll get it all. But in your walk with God, stay steady in your faith, which means you don't leave God. He has promised not to leave you. And if you do, how many of us have taken a season in our timeline and gone sideways? God still had you. And here you sit. He brought you back. He won't leave you. What his big desire is for you to move forward. I'll give you one last scripture. In Jeremiah 12:5. Are you up there? Oh. Jeremiah. I believe it's Jeremiah 12:5. Yeah. Jeremiah, the prophet, another one telling what God wants, and of course it's written down so we can hold on to it. Jeremiah one time was complaining to God, why do the evil people prosper? And your people always seem to suffer. Who hasn't asked God that? You know, when we do bad, we're like, okay, I'm getting what, you know, I kind of deserve. But it just grates us. When we do good and the hammer falls on us, it's like, what? That's just not fair. So Jeremiah is the same thing. He says, why does all this nation around us prosper and we're suffering? And it's not because God didn't want to prosper them. It's because they didn't know how to walk in what they had well. He said to them, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, if you can't handle the everyday stuff of life and it wears you out, you can't stay on the timeline and handle regular life. And he says this, how can you compete with horses if you stumble in safe country? If you're relatively safe and you can't handle it with running with the people of life, how in the world do you expect to be able to stay up with horses when the pace increases? When it moves in a different direction at a different pace? Now that can be both ways. A plow horse goes real slow because it's plowing. How do you stay up with the horse when you can barely move? He says, listen, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? And if you've ever been to Israel, the Jordan River, it's a fast-flowing river for a big part of the year. But also on the sides of it, there's massive bushes. It's not easy to, you have to wait till it gets wide to find it. But a lot of the Jordan River is hard to access. He goes, how can you run with horses and how can you get water when it's difficult if you can't do it in the normal stuff of life? So here's the truth of the matter. Most of life is the normal stuff. Yeah, but I'm going through a divorce. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, but I've lost someone I love. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, but I've gone, you know, I've lost my job and they're downsized. Yeah, that's normal. See, to us, we think a lot of it, and I'm not minimizing pain, I'm not minimizing loss, believe me. I get it. But if I think that the normal things in life are like running with the horses, that's my mistake. When I think that the things that happen normally to people are the out of bounds normal, then I'm heading for trouble, because when that normal thing happens to me, I will collapse because I think it's not normal. Does that make sense? So I have to learn in the timeline of my life to handle what God has. I'm not the first one to lose a child. That guy's not the first one to lose a spouse. That guy's not the first one to raise little kids. I'm not the first one to raise grandkids. I'm not the first one, I've prayed for people, that has a loved one doing crazy. I'm not the first one that's had a child with a life-threatening illness. I'm not the first. I will not, if God takes somebody in my family from an illness, hey, look, there's 8 brothers and sisters in my family. Somebody's going first. Somebody is. It's life. I want to. But see, all that will virus infect my computer. I want to be able to handle the life I have to handle well. And part of handling it well is dealing with all the emotions that go with it. Yay, God. This is one of them uplifting ones, huh? Is everybody going to leave here? It's on. I knew I should have went to Mentone today. Hey, listen. You and I only have to live in Chronos time today. Do good today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Yesterday's the past. We're okay. See, in the midst of my un-okayness, I'd still realize I'm okay. I know I'll go home and change a poopy diaper at some point today. Just the way it is. Kid is regular. And often. Amazing. Stand up. Can we stand up? What time do you have the most of? Chronos time. Most control over Chronos time. Kairos time, God's job. He will intervene when he wants to, when he needs to. He will also walk with you through everything. He is in Chronos time. He is Kairos. He will do it, and he's also outside of time. So we are covered in the time domain. So the big challenge to us is walk in the Chronos time well. And part of well means crying when I need to cry and smiling when I need to smile. It means going to the gym. It means eating. It means loving people. It means forgiving. That's all part of the well stuff. How many want to do well in their Chronos time? All right, Lord God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here today that they will do well in the Chronos time you have given them, and that we will look at it as a day-to-day activity, God. Father, help us to be a blessing to those who cross our path in the Chronos time you give us. Help us, Lord God, to live in such a way that this world is a better place because I'm living in Chronos time. Help me to be a blessing, God. And I thank you for that. And then, God, I ask you to intervene regularly. Do those Kairos moments. Do those significant time changes in my life so that I may accomplish all that you have for me to accomplish in my generation along this time continuum. And I thank you for that. Make me teachable, Lord God. Give me a hunger and a thirst for your word. Help me to reboot often so I can stop and get centered again. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person in this room, Lord God, that you will touch them, that they will leave this place with a fresh outlook on their lives. And Father, that they will own their time and use it well. Use the time they need for healing. Use the time they need for, that they will use the time they need for building. That they will use their lives well with what you have given them. And God, I pray that they will be rewarded richly at the fulfillment of this age. And all God's kids who agree say, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.